Diocese of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I am Ed Short.
And Ed is not really short, but that's just his name. He's actually pretty tall.
It happens.
We're glad you're with us this evening. It's Sunday, August 16th, 2020, 7 p.m. You can join us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we have a broadcast for you. We're going to continue in Jude this week, and we'll finish that up probably pretty early. Rick is not with us today. He had something else he had to do, but hopefully he'll be back with us again next week. Also, we just want to thank Ray Powers for continuing to broadcast this program for us, for giving us a spot here in the New Visions Radio family. Yeah. You know, we've been here for a long time, and we're really grateful for that. Thanks, Ray, for all you do for us. And also, let's just talk a little bit, Ed, about what takes place at Prophecies of Hope. What do we do?
Well, we're just a little church, a little ministry that we have here in Stanton, Virginia. And Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study that is usually just a little group here, plus some people on the phone. And then on Saturdays or Sabbath, we have our church service. This is the seventh day of the Ten Commandments, where God says to remember. And so we have our church services on Saturday or Sabbath, and we have study time that starts at 9:30 that's streamed on live online. And then we have our worship service at 11 o'clock that is also streamed online.
Yeah, and you can actually tune in if you go to prophecyhope.com. And you just go to that page, you look to the left, you'll see a little area there, or if you scroll down, you'll find a big red link that says stream. And if you go there during the week, you're not going to find anything as far as streaming, but there are an abundance of sermons on the website. And I think you'll find a lot of information. There are several newsletters that you can watch or view or read. And you can't watch a newsletter, but you can certainly read it. And there are videos with different topics. We've done series from 2012 all the way through last year, which was 2019. And this year we're doing another series.
Yeah, what, 6 weeks from now?
It's 6 weeks from today. Yeah, it actually begins 6 weeks from tomorrow. So it'll begin Monday, September 28th. And it'll run through October 3rd. And what we will do is, when you visit the website, we'll put a handbill right on the front page. So when you go there, you'll see the topics. That'll start every evening at 7 p.m. Well, Eastern time. I've got to remember that, USA. And we'll be streaming that live every evening.
So what is the series about?
You know, there's quite a few topics. It's going to be all about Bible prophecy. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter 2 and look at how these kingdoms were set up and what this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and how Daniel interpreted that. Another point, topic is going to be intending to change times and law, which was another prophecy that's in Daniel chapter 7. We're going to look at that in depth. And we're going to take a look at, Ed, at how the Revelation and Daniel, just they kind of fit hand in hand, don't they? And we're going to compare Daniel 7 with Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look back and forth, and we're going to identify the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, the United States and Bible prophecy, and will the world actually end? You know, we see a lot of things happening today, don't we?
You know, you mentioned a title of changing times and laws, laws and times, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of laws are changing today.
They are.
And times are changing. Not necessarily that's what's referred to in that title, but things are changing in the world.
They are. You know, hopefully, you know, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit, because after we share Jude, if you're just tuning in, after we finish Jude, we've just got a few verses, Ed and I are just going to discuss our personal testimonies a little bit.
Yeah.
And because lives change, you know, everybody who's listening here, yeah, there's somewhere you're different today than you were 10 years ago, you know, because of input, because of things that we've learned. And hopefully your walk is progressing forward. So, you know, one other thing we've got to mention before we get started, Ed, is if somebody wants to contact you or send you an email, how do they do that?
Sure. My email address is ed@prophecyhope.com.
Okay, very good. And mine is mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to send just a general email, you can send it to office@prophecyhope.com. And, you know, anytime we open God's Word or we have a study, It's always good to pray.
Yes.
So, Ed, I'm going to ask you to pray for us.
Father in heaven, again, we're coming together to study your word and to gain insight about how you would have us live our lives and to give understanding of who you are and who your son Jesus Christ is and the gospel story. Father, as we study the Bible and Jude today, we just ask for the Spirit of truth to guide us. We ask for wisdom where wisdom is lacking, that we'll be able to understand and be able to apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, let's see. Last week we had considered, I believe, verses 12 through 19, and this week we're going to pick up in verse 20.
Yes.
And, you know, just we've discussed this. If you've missed these programs, you can go back and listen to them. They'll be archived on the website. And that's probably the best thing to do because this has several parts to this series. It's amazing how much time you can spend in one chapter, isn't it?
What's this, the fourth or fifth week?
Yeah, I think this is number five.
Okay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So what we'll do is let's just start reading here. Ed, you want to just read, and wherever you feel like stopping, if you want to give a little explanation, we're going to pick up in Jude. There's only one chapter, verse 20.
Yeah, let's just read Jude verses 20 and 21.
Okay.
This is the modern King James Version. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, eagerly awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to everlasting life.
Okay.
Now, can I ask you a question?
I hope I can answer it.
I have this highlighted on my computer, and I haven't looked at this for a while, but it says praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to you?
You know, we have studied this in the past, and that's probably why you have it marked.
Probably.
And I have a reference scripture. You know, I make little Bible notes.
Okay.
And I put like scripture chain notes in my Bible. And I have a reference here that I wrote in. It takes us to Ephesians chapter 6.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 6. And if I go there, and I do this the old-fashioned way, you guys. I always open my Bible. I just like the feel of the Bible there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Here's what it says. Actually, let me back up because, you know, this is really important to this whole understanding. And we're going to focus on verse 18. But I think to set the stage for verse 18, I need to start in verse 10.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
It doesn't matter. I can, if you want me to.
Go right ahead.
All right. Again, this is a modern King James Version. It says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Who's the devil? That's Satan.
Satan, yeah. All right.
Verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take to yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore stand, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints."
You can finish it out through 20 if you don't.
All right. "And pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, so that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak."
Okay, so thanks for reading that.
Sure.
You know, we were in Jude, and the verse that you read, I should have put a marker there. The verse that you read was verse 20, if I remember, that talks about praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you said, what does that mean?
Right.
Well, if you notice over here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That was the verse I wanted to focus on. But everything leading to that, this armor that we have from God, each piece of armor has a different function, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the helmet, which gives, it says, take the helmet of salvation. It talks about the sword of the Spirit. That's interesting. Right before it talks about this supplication in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
What's the sword of the Spirit?
It's God's Word.
It's God's Word. And, you know, we've done studies on who the Spirit is, haven't we? And the Spirit is God's Word.
Yeah.
And the Word
is Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God.
Yeah, and it's so clear. I mean, we've talked about this many times on this program and through Prophecies of Hope. So I guess, Ed, the question is, when it talks about praying in the Holy Spirit, how do you accept that? What does that mean to you?
Praying in the name of Jesus?
Yes, that's how I have to understand it.
Can I add to this?
Please, absolutely.
If we go to the book of Romans, chapter 8.
Okay.
And we're going to start at verse 26. I want to read two verses. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession with us for groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, searching the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God."
Hmm.
Skipping down to verse 34. "Who is he condemning? It is Christ who has died, but rather also who is raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us."
Hmm. That makes it clear, doesn't it?
Yes, the intercessor is Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. He can make groanings which cannot be uttered. He understands our position. He experienced life on this earth as a human. He knows what we're going through. He can interpret what we're going through, what we're asking for, to his Father in heaven.
Yeah, what better intercessor could we have?
Yeah.
I mean, because let's face it, the Father hasn't experienced what it's been like to be a human.
That's right.
But his Son has experienced that. So what better person could we have? It's not a third being. It's Christ himself. That's the Spirit that makes intercession for us. So it's really quite beautiful. And, you know, we've done other studies on this, and you can find those throughout the website. Did you have a thought, Ed?
Well, there's a couple. It makes me think of Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay, let's go there.
And it talks about, in verses 14 through 16, about Jesus being our high priest.
Yes.
It says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in time of need." And that's through Christ.
That's it. So what does that mean when it says there, we do not have one that can't sympathize with our weaknesses?
Because Christ has experienced, he was in all points tempted just as we are.
Just as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for some reason, sometimes this becomes offensive to people. But my understanding is when it says just as we are, he was here as we are.
Let's look at that. Let's look at Hebrews 2.
Yes, let's do that.
Starting in verse 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for all. Mm. For it became him," I think King James says it behooves him.
Yeah, mine says it was fitting for him.
"For whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the captain of their salvation through sufferings."
Mm.
Can we stop here just a second?
Sure.
"To perfect the captain of the suffering." What does that mean? Was Jesus not perfect?
Well, his character was perfect. But he was a human just like we are. He was Abraham's seed. He took on the same nature as we.
Something he hadn't experienced to that point.
That's right.
And so through this experience, it perfected him to be able to do what he's doing now for us.
Yes.
And we'll see here as we read on a little bit more about that. But he experienced sin. He experienced the temptation of sin and was without sin.
Right.
He understood how to overcome sin by trusting in his Father.
Yes.
He went through that experience, and thus he is perfected to be our high priest. He is perfected to live his life within us through the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
To help us overcome sin in his life. And we'll see that here in a minute. Let's keep reading.
Okay.
Verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in him, talking about his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And again, behold me and the children whom God has given me. Since then the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same.
Yes.
That through death he may destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil or Satan, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, the bondage of sin. For truly he did not take on the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For that he himself has suffered, having been tempted, he is able to rescue those who are being tempted.
Because he has experienced exactly
what we have. Yes, and that's how he was perfected through sufferings on this earth. He understands the experience of a human being on this earth.
Yes.
So now he's perfected in this job of being our high priest, and he's been perfected in being able to rescue those who are being tempted because he's experienced them. He knows how to help us through these things.
You know, this goes right in the face of what I was taught all of my life.
Yeah.
And I never was taught to read a passage like you just did and just really look at what it says. To study the words for themselves, to see what it says. And because I was taught that Jesus came here just like Adam was, as absolute perfection. But it says here that he was born as we are,
flesh and blood.
He lived, instead of the perfect man Adam fell, this was a man like us that didn't fall because of dependence upon his Father.
He had a body like the bodies of those around him. I experienced the results of that many years of sin.
That's right. That's right. So, and that's, to some people, that's offensive, and to others, they say, well, how else could it be?
Yeah. How could he have experienced what we experienced? How could he be tempted in all ways like we have been
Absolutely.
Tempted, unless that's the case?
That's right. It's really beautiful that he would take that risk to
come here and
go through, and that his Father would take the risk of doing this. So, what a beautiful text. Thanks for sharing that, because, you know, Ed, this is... this topic is something that has, you know, we're going to talk about in a moment, has changed your life immensely.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, was there any other thought on Jude 20 and 21? Did you have
another thought? No, that is it.
Okay.
Well, that is it. I was just looking at my notes real quick.
All right, no problem.
And so people know my notes are just notes in my Bible that from past study.
Right.
I didn't make notes for today's discussion.
Right.
It's just things I have already studied.
Yeah, you know, just so some of you know, when we come here for this, we're not prepared. We don't have everything set up. And go ahead, Ed.
We are prepared because we study the Bible.
Right, but we don't... You're right. You're right. So I take that back.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we don't sit down and say, okay, well, I'm going to say this and you're going to say that. Well, here's my notes. You know, We start the program, we have the opening prayer, and we study right here on the air.
Here's the first thing we say to each other. Where did we end?
That's exactly right. Where did we leave off last week?
Yeah, where do we need to start again?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And fortunately, Ed had his Bible marked this
I did mark
this week.
It this time, yep.
Yep. So, all right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll read here beginning in verse 22, and if you want to stop, we can either stop or we can read through. It's only a few verses left.
Go ahead and start reading.
It says, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen."
Amen. Verse 22.
Yes.
Oftentimes, what I'll do is look at other versions of the Bible to give me more information, maybe better understanding. Now, I use a Bible software, and I have probably 20 different versions of the Bible on here.
That's nice.
And so let me just share a couple of versions of the verse 22 of Jude.
Okay.
The Good News Bible says, "To show mercy towards those who have doubts."
Oh, that makes sense.
The easy-to-read version says, "Help those who have doubts."
Hmm. Yeah, it kind of started weird in the King James. It says, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction."
Yes,
it's kind of strange.
The Modern King says, "But pitying some, making distinction." And, you know, some people have doubts. Try to build them up. Help them.
Yeah.
Show them God's Word. Show them, you know, compare Scripture to Scripture to see if you can discover the meaning.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, talking about some that have doubts, I've learned, and I hadn't thought about this until just now, but all of the doubts that I can think of off the top of my head that I've had in the past came because my church was telling me something, but I thought the Bible said something different.
Uh-huh.
That's where the doubts came in.
Okay.
It wasn't that I doubted what God's Word said. The doubts came from, well, wait a minute. I'm not sure I believe quite what I'm hearing.
Why does my pastor say this
exactly.
And the Bible says this? How can that be?
And you know, when you get to that point and you think, well, he's been educated. He knows. I mean, he should know. So there's a problem with me.
Yeah.
That's how I was viewed.
There's something I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would have doubts about certain things. But as I studied and I found out, wow, you know what? I see now what the Bible says. I've got to follow what it says rather than what men say.
Yeah.
And the doubts disappeared. The doubts started going away.
Because you studied God's Word, you learned what it said.
Yes.
And you have faith in the Word of God.
Yes.
Faith in God, faith in His Son. And you realize that there are people that maybe from sincerity believe what they're preaching, but haven't based it on the Word of God.
That's right. Yeah. And that happens, unfortunately, more often than not.
Well, don't you think that's why there's however many denominations out there?
Yeah, there's thousands. Yeah. Thousands of Christian denominations. It's unbelievable. And, you know, there are, a lot of people probably don't know this, there are several hundred Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping denominations that are out there. And in Virginia, in the United States, one of the first Sabbath-keeping denominations were Seventh-day Baptists, I find that interesting. I'd never heard of them until I started studying that particular topic.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Let's look at verse 23. Again, I want to read it in a few different versions to help give it a little bit understanding, better understanding. The easy-to-read version in verse 23 says, "Rescue those who are living in danger of hellfire. There are others you should treat with mercy, but be very careful that their filthy lives don't rub off on you."
Oh, boy, that comes back to the scripture in 1 Corinthians that says that bad associations cause bad habits.
Yeah. Let me share the Good News Bible's version of that same verse.
Okay.
"Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy mixed with fear, but hate their very clothes stained by their sinful lust."
Hmm.
Don't get caught up into what they're doing. It's good you want to help them, turn them to the Word of God, turn them to Christ.
Right.
But don't get caught up in their way of living.
Yeah, because that can wear off on us, can't it?
Yes.
We have to be very careful.
You know, we've talked about this before. it seems in the world we live in, you don't think sin can become any more sinful, but then something else pops up in the world.
Oh,
that's,
I know.
How can that be? But then as time continues, it becomes more and more prevalent. It loses its shock value.
It does. We become calloused.
And become calloused to sin, not only in my own life, but in the world around me.
Right. What was once unacceptable becomes, well, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Right?
And sin, for somehow, becomes less sinful.
Yeah.
And that's what it's talking about. Beware of that. You know, it's good to reach out for others, but don't be careful their filthy lives don't rub off on you.
Yeah. And it's a gradual process. It's something that you don't see happening right off the bat. You know, it's kind of like, Ed, you and I are together every week. We see each other a couple of times a week at least, right? And, you know, we're getting old together, aren't we? But if we were apart for 10 years and then we'd see each other, we'd probably say, wow, look at the difference. Especially when you get around, after you're over that 50 hump, you know, we tend to deteriorate a little quicker.
Right. You know, we've been in the church here in Stanton, Virginia, how many years? 5 years?
Yeah, this year is 5 years, five and a half.
And every once in a while we have pictures of when we first started. And people look different. I look different.
Yeah.
Rick looks different.
I still look the same.
Yeah,
I'm just, I was ugly for a long time.
No. But, you know, some of the differences I notice as we're aging together here, we both have less hair.
Yeah, not me. I've been bald since I was in my 20s, so it's hard to believe.
All right. But, you know, we need to be careful about, as you said, who we're in contact, who we hang around with.
Yeah.
Because our characters rub off on each other.
They do. You know, we do. We tend to become like those we hang around.
Yeah.
And that's why I love fellowship with church family. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes, you know, we're very fortunate, but sometimes, even within the church, there can be some of the worst associates, you know. So for people who are in large gatherings, large groups, be careful.
Yeah, choose your friends wisely. Choose godly friends.
Absolutely.
Those that fear God and want to serve Him, want to do the will of God in their lives.
Right. You know, if you're around someone that in the church, they start talking about all secular things and you're not talking about spiritual matters while in church, that might be an indication of, well, you know, maybe that person isn't the most spiritual-minded, but we can help them. We can bring them to
bring them into conversations about God and His Son and the Word.
Invite them into your Bible studies and your little church groups and things.
Yeah.
So let's see. Did you want to continue the last two verses?
Yeah, let's look at verse 24.
Sure.
It says, "Now to Him being able to keep you without stumbling." That set my mind off.
The stumbling part, not stumbling?
Not stumbling. Keep you without stumbling. So it reminded me of Psalms 91, starting with verse 9. And it says, "Because you, O Jehovah, are my refuge, if you have made the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give you His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now, I think this is talking about physically protecting you, but as well as spiritually protecting you.
Yeah.
And here in this verse in Jude, it says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you without stumbling." Reminds me, this is talking about God, Jehovah.
This text here in Psalm 91 that you read from, this is the text that Satan himself quoted to Jesus when he was tempting him.
Uh-huh.
You remember
that? Yes, yeah.
This is the text. And so, you know, keep in mind that even those who might seem to be using the Bible can twist it to their own liking.
He was trying to get Jesus to cast himself off a high place.
That's right. He was.
To try to harm himself, to prove, if you're son of God, God will protect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it shows the devil's always trying to entrap us. I mean, he's always going to try to do something to make us do wrong.
To twist the truth.
Twist the truth. We were talking about that right before the program, weren't we?
Yeah.
So, did you want to continue? Verse 25?
Yes. "To the only wise God, our Savior." I remember when I first read this, it wasn't too long ago, we were for some reason just reading this verse. And I always thought of Jesus Christ as being our Savior. Mm-hmm. But here it says, the only wise God, talking about Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth through his son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior as well.
That's right.
The plan of salvation is from both God the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. They're both our Saviors. All right, so that was a new thought to me when I read that, after I had a better understanding who God is and who his son, Jesus Christ, is.
Right.
And I don't know, it gave me a good feeling of comfort, knowing that God is my Savior as well as his son, Jesus Christ.
You know, because think about it was the Father who sent his son.
Yes.
So they both are our Savior.
You know, no matter what book of the Bible we study, more and more I'm seeing the Bible, no matter where you study, it's the gospel story.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. And throughout the Bible, whoever's writing it is trying to draw us closer to the Father and his Son, so that we have understanding of their great love for us. God loved us so much that he sent his Son, that not only did he die on the cross, that his blood covers the penalty for my sin, to reconcile us to his Father, but that now he lives and we are saved by his life. That
That's
life
right.
that he wants to live within us to help us overcome sin in our lives, because he has experienced what he experienced, and now he can, you know, understand what we're going through. He knows what it takes to overcome sin because
That's
right. he's done that, and now he can share that with us. And the whole purpose for this is to get us to a place where now we can be with his Father and himself in a new world, in a new earth, without
Amen.
Sin, without death, without pain, without suffering.
For eternity.
Yes. That is the gospel.
It is. So many people will say, well, I don't want to live forever. And well, that's because you're picturing it in this world
yeah.
instead of the new world. So were there any other thoughts on the last verses here?
No, I think that's it. I mean, Jude is saying, to God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and might and authority, even now and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he saying that? Because he understands the gospel.
Yes.
He understands the great love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, to do what they've done for us, in spite of what we have done to them, through disobedience, disrespect, not believing that they even exist. And yet, they've done all this for us because they love us so much.
Right.
They value you and I, in spite of who we are, so much that they would do this.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of that, Ed, since we've just completed the study of Jude,
mm-hmm.
you know, you and I, we were talking the other day about our backgrounds
uh-huh.
and how things have changed for us.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you want to, would you mind just sharing with the audience just a little bit of what happened in your life? I mean, I know you grew up in a church. You've always
yeah.
had a spiritual walk. You know, I know that you've always appreciated the Father and his Son. But there's been a progression to this, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, I think anybody, we were talking in a study recently that if you want to be good at calculus, you have to have a base to work from. And you
right.
have to know addition and subtraction. You have to know that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3.
That's right.
And so it's the same with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Bible. You have to start with a baseline. And as your understanding of the Bible grows, and as your understanding of God and his Son grows, and as your experience with a relationship with them through prayer, through reading the Word, mm-hmm. through listening to God speaking to your heart
mm-hmm.
and mind, you grow. And that can take you in places you would never thought. I grew up, as you said, in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe, I guess it was 2012.
Yeah.
I'm 61 now, so that was like 8 years ago. I was, you know, 53. Okay? And I had been attending a church that had the truth.
Yeah.
And I would never have imagined anything else different. But a friend of mine invited me to join a group that wanted to do some evangelism. There was a couple local churches that wanted to get together to do evangelism. And the name of this group was called Prophecy of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, maybe 30, 40, 50 people involved in organizing this.
Just lay people.
Yeah,
right?
Lay people. Finding a place to do the series, looking at logistics, looking at advertising, trying to figure out what we're going to talk about. And it was exciting. And the first year, we ended up doing it in a local church school. Maybe a couple hundred people a night would come out and listen to this. It was very exciting, very encouraging. And so the next year, about the same time, we got together and started to plan for another series. And all of a sudden, things just kind of fell apart.
Hmm.
And ended up that this organizing group ended up to be just a few people because everybody was leaving. I was hearing things that Mark believed something weird, different. And all of a sudden, the pastors of these two churches that got together started to speak out against the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, I overheard Rick and Mary talking to you, and Rick saying to you, Mark, why don't people just ask you what you believe instead of whispering behind your back about, oh, do you know Mark believes this, Mark believes that?
Mm.
So what happened, I thought about this, and I don't know how much later it was that I said to you and Rick and Mary, I said, will you guys come over to my house and share with me what this is all about? Why are people whispering all these things? Share with me what you believe. Just simply share with me. So it ended up, we set up a time about 3 weeks after that conversation.
Right.
So during this time, I was praying. I prayed three things. I prayed, first of all, that I wouldn't be deceived.
Very important.
I prayed and claimed two promises. One is a promise in John 16 that you'll be sent the Spirit of truth to guide you in all truth. And then I prayed the prayer in James chapter 1, prayer for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, God will give it to you liberally. Just don't be wishy-washy about it. And that's my paraphrase. And but even before this time, I had been studying on my own. I had studied the book of Colossians, where I saw where people were saying that this book, certain chapters, certain verses said certain things, when obviously it only would take a little bit of study to see that it wasn't saying that at all.
Right.
So I knew that people in my church that I was attending that had the truth were preaching things that were not true according to God's word.
Mm.
So finally, you guys came over, and we were in John chapter 14. And our study was really just reading the words on the page.
Yeah, there wasn't discussion.
Really. We were just reading the Bible.
Right.
And Mary happened to be reading, and we came to a point, I said, stop. Let me read this. Let me be sure about what I see it or hear it saying.
Right.
Because I was reading along in my Bible. Maybe we should turn there.
Yeah, let's do that.
And
that would be great. John chapter 14, right?
Yeah, John chapter 14.
And I think verse.
Well, let me do a little overview.
You go ahead.
Okay, it was talking about Jesus. You know, Philip said to Jesus, "You know, show us the Father." Because he was saying the verse before that, verse 7, if you've known me, you would know my Father also.
Right.
And Jesus said, have I been with you in such a long time? He who sees me sees the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? You know, Jesus had told them, everything I speak, everything I do is from my Father in heaven.
Right.
The words I speak are not my own, they're my Father. So thus he was saying, how can you say you don't know the Father? Because everything I've been telling you is directly from my
him.
Father.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, earlier on, he had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we get to verse 15 of John 14, these are the parts that really started to stand out. It starts out in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, so that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be with you." Well, first of all, if God is giving them another comforter, they must have a current comforter.
That makes sense.
And so, and Jesus says, it's the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Well, who do they know? They know Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Who's currently dwelling with them? It's Christ. And it says, shall be in you. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, wait a minute. People use this text, this chapter, they say it's about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But in this verse it says, and the Holy Spirit is somebody other than Christ or somebody other than the Father.
That's what people are teaching, right?
Yes. But here in this text, it says the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. The world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Talking about himself. He says, I will not leave you comfortless.
Right.
How is he not going to leave them comfortless? He's going to come to them and comfort them. He says, I will come to you.
Right.
It was like this huge light bulb went off in my head. I had never really believed the doctrine of the Trinity. In fact, I never even liked the word.
Right.
But I never understood this portion of Scripture that Christ is the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us.
Right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And most of the Christian world makes it to be out something other than what it is.
To be another person other than Christ. Yeah.
So this has drastically changed my life. Now, I didn't understand all this at first. I continued to study for years, taking in the whole of Scripture.
Right, right.
Taking in Colossians, Ephesians, Galatians. It all talks about this whole subject.
Romans.
Romans especially. Paul is an expert at this. And I just find it so funny that Peter said that sometimes Paul's writings are hard to understand.
Yeah.
But Paul has such an intimate understanding of the gospel.
He does.
I found it amazing. And it took me, I'm still growing in this.
We all are.
It's something I didn't understand until a few years ago.
Yeah.
And what a difference it makes, who you worship.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Who you have in your heart.
That's right. That's right.
So that's my testimony.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know what I appreciate about it, Ed, is that nobody was telling you what to believe. Nobody was saying, oh, well, look, this is how you have to interpret this verse.
I had prayed to God for 3 weeks. Don't let me be deceived. Send the Spirit of truth to guide me into all truth. Give me wisdom to understand your word. Now that I saw this, I had to make a choice. Do I believe what my church was teaching that has the truth, that I believe had the truth? Or do I believe God was answering my prayer to give me wisdom, understanding about his word?
So
I decide one way or the other.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the question, because I know a lot of people would wonder, well, how do you make that determination?
By reading the words on the page,
yeah.
By continuing to study this new thought to me,
right.
Compare Scripture to Scripture.
There you go.
It starts with a choice to believe God's word, but then it's a continued study to make sure what I'm seeing here is the truth.
It's a process.
It's not believing what you told me. It's not believing what Mary told me.
Right.
It's not believing what Rick told me. It's seeing something in God's word and seeing what the rest of the Gospels is about, the rest of the Word of God teaches.
Right.
To make sure. And that's what we encourage anybody who hears us, anybody who listens to our sermons online, anybody who listens to this radio program, search the Bible for yourself.
Amen.
Don't believe it because I say it.
Yeah, that's it.
But if you study God's word and you pray those prayers, you claim those promises, God will do what he did for me. He will open your eyes of understanding. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, will be sent to you to give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
Amen. So you feel like your walk is much closer now than it was.
Oh, yes.
Because you know him.
I totally changed the way I study the Bible. I used to study to prove what my church taught, to prove what I believed, to prove what I thought was truth. Now I've learned to study the Word of God simply to see what it says and to challenge other people to do the same. When they say something, you know, they say, well, this guy told me this, or this, I read this in a book. Well, what does God's Word say?
Yeah, or maybe I heard this sermon that says ABC. Well, again, we have to be like the Bereans.
Yes.
Isn't that what we're told in the Bible?
Yeah.
And make sure that the things that we're learning are true.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting because I grew up, too, in a church that said they had the truth. But I love the question you always ask.
Well, I always say to people, you know, you see churches all over the place. Most of them have a sign out front with, you know, a little saying their worship hours and important things they want the community to know. How many of those signs that you see outside of church have "we don't have the truth here" written on them?
I haven't seen one yet.
I don't either. Everybody's got the truth.
Yeah, I love that question.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some churches that stand more proudly on that than others. And the background that you're from is one of those, and the background that I'm from is one of those.
And it's not like they don't have any truth.
Right.
It's just that they need to take everything from God's Word, and for some reason they have chosen not to.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, it's funny because growing up, I was always told, I mean, it was hammered into my head, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. And then later in life, when I started to study, you know, I actually ended up getting baptized in that church. My wife and I were baptized together. And 1 month after my baptism,
and just so people know, we did not come from the same background.
No, we didn't come from the same background. No. We're different backgrounds. And 1 month after having been baptized, a man walks into my shop, and he started a Bible discussion with me. And he just asked me a simple question: does your church believe you have to keep the commandments of God? And I said, well, of course. That's you know, if you're not keeping the commandments,
why go to church?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't treat my neighbor badly and continue to think I'm going to be in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I'm so glad to hear that. So it ended up, we ended up in Exodus chapter 20. And when we got to verse 8, the fourth commandment about remember the Sabbath, it hit me so hard. Because, and I'd read it. Go ahead.
What day is the Sabbath?
It's the seventh day. It's a Saturday. Yeah, it's a Saturday, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But see, here I had read this for the first time. I mean, I had read it before, but like you, I knew I had the truth, right?
Yeah. You never really read the words on the page.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it and it said, it was very specific, you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor the stranger who was within your gates.
Yeah.
For in six days, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, he blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, right? Or made it holy.
Or hallowed it.
Yeah. I'm shooting from the hip here, but this is how much of an impression it had on me. You know, I read it over. I said, how did I miss this? This commandment says, remember. And I was taught in my church that, well, the commandments were nailed to the cross, but not all 10 of them. Only this one was the one.
What? How many out of the 10 commandments, how many of them start out with the word remember?
Only one.
Yeah.
Only one.
It's the one everybody's forgotten.
It is. It really is. And the thing is, you know, we've talked about this in the past. I respect people who, even if they believe it's on the first day, if they really believe that, if they're honoring a day and keeping that rest in ignorance, that's one thing. But once you have studied and you know which day the Sabbath is, and when you have authorities and even denominations that quote unquote keep Sunday, that tell you that Saturday is the Sabbath day. Why are we doing that? And so it was this understanding of God's commandments of the Sabbath that really got the wheels turning for me.
So you have to make a choice. Do I love God and His Word? Do I study God's Word to find out what it says and then make the choice to follow it?
That's it. And it's, let me tell you, you know, the reason we wanted to talk about this, friends, is because this is something that's much easier said than it is done.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, when you take a stand for what God's Word says, it can cause a great unity in some ways, but it can cause a tremendous division in other ways.
It can turn your world upside down.
And it did. It turned my world upside down. And I'll tell you, this was where my relationship with God, I found out that my relationship was with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was with God. I really did. Mm-hmm. I wanted, and I think you were in a similar position.
Yeah.
You thought, you know, hey, you know, I'm in a relationship with God here. And I think we were. Don't get me wrong, but I found that I was putting my trust in what I had been told instead of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And the more that I started to analyze that doctrine, the more that I saw there were other things that my church had wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what was amazing to me is that, you know, for me, it was the fourth commandment. All of your life, you understood and knew the seventh day was the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem where you were worshiping was they didn't know who the true God was.
And they didn't know, they didn't preach the full gospel.
Right.
They only taught a partial gospel.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to be careful wherever we worship that, you know, we stand for the truth. And, you know, there is, I don't know of any perfect church on this earth today. I don't know of one. And I don't think that any denomination or any church has a monopoly on Bible truth. If you have, go ahead.
If you want Bible truth, open the Bible.
You have to open the Bible. Yeah. You know, when Ed said that, he picked up his laptop.
Yeah, I did.
It's funny. It shows where technology is. But, but it's so true. If you want Bible truth, you go to the Bible. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if any church or denomination wants to teach something contrary to that, take a second look. Take a second look and say, is my church the truth or is Jesus Christ the truth?
So as you look and read God's Word and you see something different, you have to make a choice. They can be very hard.
It is.
And it can be continuous choices over a period of time that are difficult.
Absolutely.
But you have to choose whether or not to believe what God's Word says. And then, do you love God enough? Do you believe He loves you enough that it's worthwhile following Him versus a church, the world, or whatever?
Yeah, you know, the key that you said is, do you believe He loves you enough?
Yeah.
I assure you, He loves you enough.
Uh-huh.
But we have to. It has to start with our belief, our faith, doesn't it? Where do we stand?
And to realize that God's Word was written for our benefit.
Amen.
To give us a better life, not only eternally, but in the life we live right now.
Absolutely. You know, and Ed, I know you've heard me say this, and I don't think I've ever said this on the program, and if I have, forgive me, but, you know, if somebody came to me and said to me, you know what, this whole book is a hoax, let's suppose that they proved that to me, I would look at them and say, you know, even if it is, even if I don't get eternal life, I'm better off for living my life according to this book called the Bible than I am with any other book.
Yeah.
Because all of the things that it lays down with how I should live my life, how I should treat others, how to respect people, how to abstain from doing things that are immoral, even from a, not a necessarily a godly sense, but from a national sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of morality in any nation.
Yeah.
Well, if even if it's a hoax, I'm going to live a longer life because I want to live according to its health principles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make fewer people mad at me because I'm going to treat them right.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
But I know and believe that it is 100% truth.
Yeah.
And I trust it.
Yeah.
And if there are people that are listening to the program that maybe you haven't, maybe you say, well, you know, there's some things I think are or aren't. Keep studying. Ask God for understanding, just like you did.
Yeah.
You prayed that prayer. Give me understanding.
And when he shows you something, if you prayed that prayer and shows you something, believe it.
Accept it. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And don't be afraid to be challenged, because that's going to build your faith. Mm-hmm. The more you have to defend God's word and show people, well, this is why I know this is right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I will say this, just one more thing, because we're running out of time rapidly. I will say that sometimes when we read the Bible, there's tension between verses. In other words, there's a verse that might seem seemingly contradictory to something else. That happens, doesn't it? But if you just shelve it and keep thinking about it and pray about it, because if there seems to be a contradiction in the Bible, I've always found that it's been my lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. Every time I've just studied it through, I find, oh, well, I didn't understand that right.
Remember, to understand calculus, you have to understand basics of addition and subtraction and so on. If you're just starting the Bible, you see you may not have some understanding, but as you grow in God's word, that understanding will come.
Amen. So, friends, that's all the time we have. We need to close with prayer and sign off. So, Ed, I'm just going to have a prayer. I really enjoyed your testimony. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for this time we were able to spend this evening just opening your word and sharing personal testimonies. And we just pray that the years that it falls on, that they will be blessed by it, that they will continue to study your word, the Bible. Please be with us until we come together next week. And Father, we ask for your spirit to be with each and every one who is within earshot of this program. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. We'll be back here next week, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Sunday evening. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.